Quel'Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings.
For the good of all.
Bromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control-Alt-WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. This is episode 43, recorded on Monday, November 5th, 2007, entitled So Much Questing, So Little Time. I'm Aprilian of the Earthen Ring server, and here with me is my co-host,
Glanther, also of the Earthen Ring server.
And let's get started. Well, I just want to say welcome back. There's been a little bit of a little hiatus. I think it's been, 2 weeks since we recorded our last episode?
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Yeah, and due to some scheduling conflicts, I think I was sick, and then you were sick.
Then work made me sick.
And now we're back, but through it all, I managed to play a lot of WoW, and I think you got a little bit.
I was able to get more WoW than I probably should have. You know, I should have been in bed trying to recuperate, but I was downstairs playing WoW, so.
Well, there's no such thing as being too sick to play WoW.
Yeah.
I think even when I was in the hospital, I had my laptop with me, and I actually got online a couple of times. So.
Oh, that's dedication.
Yeah, or obsession. since we've last been together, I want to thank everybody for your patience, and for those of you who are still downloading us on iTunes. We're also on Podcast Alley, which is at podcastalley.com, and you can find out about us on our website at controlaltwow.com, that's controlaltwow.com, and you can write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com, or you can write
Me at glanther@gmail.com as well. As you know, I'm from the Alliance side, so the Alliance characters, you can always send me stuff, because Aprilian doesn't understand what it's like to fight for the light.
Hey, speaking of the light, or Alliance, this bugs me. I know that we get these costume things when you, Hollows Inn just happened.
Yep.
And you go in there to get your treat, and sometimes you get that horrible trick when you turn into like a female human. I started to say earthling. Human ghost. And it's kind of scary and funny at the same time, because when you do the emotes, you're doing it, you know, not as your tauren or your troll or your orc. You know, you're doing it as a human, and you, when you dance, you do the
human dance.
Yeah, the Macarena.
See, the Alliance characters, they get turned into slugs.
Yeah, we get slugs and bats.
I got a mini Diablo. I was once mini Diablo.
Yeah, we get that. Those are the short-term ones. But do you get turned into Horde characters?
I was never... I got tricked many times, and I never was a Horde character.
Do you see any running around?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's just one-sided.
Well, I think the Horde, to them, like, being a human is probably the most scary thing imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. And when you get the wands, I guess we get to, you can be a ninja, but you probably get ninjas.
We
and
get
pirates.
We get ninjas and pirates, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I guess that's a universal Azeroth Halloween thing. What'd be kind of neat is if you got turned into a ninja and you still stayed like a tauren or a troll
wearing ninja gear.
Yeah,
it'd be like that Ask a Ninja podcast,
right.
You know.
All right, so. I did a lot of Hallows Eve stuff. Did you do any of the...
I did, and I really liked the Headless Horseman.
Now, I only did the lower-end Headless Horseman. Did you do the Scarlet Monastery one?
I didn't do the Scarlet Monastery, okay. But, I mean, it's
hard
to...
You had to have a level 70 to
do
that. Yeah, yeah. That was kind of nice that they included something extra for the level 70s. But it was kind of fun going to the... Would you go to Brill or Razor
Hill? I went to Brill on the Horde side, and I went to Goldshire on the Alliance side, as well as Karanos on the Alliance side as well. And they put out fires.
Right. It was kind of neat, especially if you got all coordinated. Mm-hmm. It wasn't too hard to do, but it was still took some effort.
You couldn't do it by yourself.
Right.
You needed to have a big group of people.
Brill with just a few people, and we didn't do it, but when I was in Razor Hill, there was a good group of people. We never did do the bucket brigade, which I guess you could actually throw the buckets to people.
Oh, I never did that.
Yeah, you could do the, you got the little targeting thing, and you could click it on a person, and if they didn't have a bucket, they would get a bucket. And it was kind of neat to watch them. All of a sudden, you hear the swishing noise, yep. And they would have a bucket. So that was a neat thing. Kind of the same way you can throw those balls, but...
The leather balls? Yeah.
But you can, you actually got the bucket on your tomb, so you could see that you had thrown a bucket to a person. And I got some brooms. I still have some. You can still ride them around. Did you get any brooms?
I got one from you. I got one from Ray Brilliant. And Glanther had it. And he looks fantastic riding around on it.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. And it has like a little emote. And it kind of has a little flame shooting out the back. And it rocks back and forth. It's not just like a horse that looks like a broom. It's actually, they put some thought into it. It's funny because I did my Alliance alt. Found one for, well, somebody was selling one for one gold, and she sells all that stuff on the Alliance side, so she has a good chunk of money sitting in her, you know, bank, well, 50 or 60 gold, just for, you know, anything that I need that I can't get on the Horde side. And somebody was talking in trade that they had the broom to sell, and I was going to send it to one of my Horde characters, because I thought it would be neat. I already, Hasheo gave one of my Horde characters, a broom, and I thought if I could dual box and have two characters running around on a broom or flying around on a broom, that would be kind of neat. But you can't auction these things. You can't put them on the auction house.
Oh, so it's, I didn't know that.
They're considered conjured items. So just like you can't auction mages'
food and water,
you can't auction. And I should have known this because there were some things that you couldn't do from Valentine's Day, too, that you couldn't auction. So that's why I ended up giving it to you. Not that I wouldn't have given it to you anyways, but, you know, I had to find some Alliance person to give it to.
Just some Alliance person. Such scorn in her voice. an Alliance person.
Okay, so what else did you do? I got a lot of candy, and I found that it was kind of handy. Oh, that, wow, that rhymed. I found that it was handy to have the candy when you're out questing, especially when you're by yourself and you need a quick.
Yeah, like the 3% of your health and mana is really very nice.
Right, that combination is nice, yeah, yeah.
What was the other thing? With Arlaris, I got, I had kind of collected some gold. I had like 75 gold on him because I had been auctioning a lot of stuff off. And I felt like splurging. And even though I already had a mount that was a horse, I went and I got one of the Elix.
Oh, from?
Just, you know, like the standard Draenei.
Oh, mount. So you have a Draenei elephant.
I have an elephant, and then I have, of course, like the standard paladin horse. And the horse is definitely more elegant. I think it looks a little cooler because it has the armor on it, but still, like, the Elic is it's fun. It was something new. It was the best. It was the best 9 gold I'd spent in a while, because I spent 9 gold on a pair of bracers, you know, that you just replace 2 levels later. This is something I'm gonna have till the end of the game, so.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. I guess it kind of looks neat watching those stomp around Shattrath.
Yeah.
And they do kind
of
stomp.
They do kind of stomp. When watching the animation, it's very much like if you were riding an elephant. It's like swaying back and forth, dump, you dump, you dump. Yeah. Like,
cool.
All
right. Well, let's get into what we've been doing. Okay, so, do you
want
to start off, or do you want me to...
Sure, I'll start off. Now, what has my time in Azeroth been like the last couple of weeks? Well, when I have been able to play, I've been doing a lot of just kind of running around and exploring. Because I have a lot of dungeon quests right now. And my Alliance guild that I'm part of is made up of people who, in real life, they know each other, which can be good, but it can also be really bad because they, you know, go and they hang out with each other in real life, and they're not online. So my guild is not ever around, and I can't do these dungeon quests without people. And I don't like the pickup groups because they never work out. So I haven't really done a lot with, you know, in terms of questing and getting a lot of my leveling up. So I went instead and I tried to go and mine copper and fish and try to get those secondary skills up. And I'm trying to bring engineering up on Alaris because I want to start, you know, getting up above the 150 range in that. And on the Horde side, I finally got my undead warlock up to level 10, so he has his Void Walker now. And I was able to play a little bit with a Brilliant on Palinor, who's my Blood Elf mage. I was able to play a little bit, and I finally got into Wailing Caverns. So
yeah,
that was really fun.
Yeah.
I'd never been there before, so that was really, really neat.
We were triple... Well, I was double boxing. I was with the twins, my Blood Elf twins, Audrian and Aprilian. And at one time, it was kind of funny, because we were going to bring in that druid. Whatever happened with that?
Oh, the druid...
I think he kind of AFK'd.
He kind of AFK'd, and... It was one of those things. I take pity on those poor people that
are running around by themselves
because that's the story of my life. So I wanted to help him out, but then he ended up doing his own thing anyway. So,
yeah. Well, the thing is, I always feel like, you know, we got to kind of warn people because most of the time when I'm dual boxing, I'm doing okay. But there can be moments when I get stuck. Or we have a catastrophe. Did we wipe? No, we didn't wipe.
We wiped once. We wiped a bunch of times.
Oh, did we? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because Audrey and Aprilian are 34. Oh, no. It wasn't Aprilian. It was Audrian, who was 24, and Q, who's my hunter twink.
She was only like
13.
13,
yeah. She dinged 14. And I think she aggroed a lot.
She did aggro a lot, but it was still a lot of fun. I don't mind wiping as long as I'm, you know, playing the game and having fun.
Yeah.
I wish that Aprilian would come over to the Alliance side the same way I went over to the Horde side, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime
soon. You know what?
Soon.
I've been thinking about it.
Because it's really great to have for people out there that, you know, have friends in real life who are thinking about, you know, joining World of Warcraft. It really is so much nicer, I think, to have friends that you know be playing with because it makes the game more real,
right.
But also more real, but and also just more casual. Like you don't have to worry about making someone
impressing someone,
yeah, right.
Because you know that they're your friend and stuff, yeah, or letting them down or whatever, right?
And especially if like I would love to show Aprilian around like the Alliance side and same way that she's been showing him around the Horde side.
Maybe if I was a Draenei.
Draenei's are really very cool.
Draenei.
I think they're both probably correct pronunciations.
Ew.
You know, even I don't have any humans. I'm kind of humans are so. Pedestrian.
Yes.
Like
I'm a human in real life. I don't need to be a human online.
Yeah, and all you humans out there, you know, you guys are great. I do love you guys in the game, but not for me. I have
I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying to be a human. Yeah.
And gnomes.
Yes, gnomes.
they're great.
They're good for punting.
I think that they just look really silly. And like the game wasn't
designed.
Isn't there
something like a gnome warlock, which is just...
I made a gnome warlock once, and I got to level 5. And then I went into Ironforge, and I saw a gnome warlock run by on a fell steed.
Mm.
And I was like, no, I deleted him immediately, because that was not going to be my life.
Yeah, or gnome warrior.
Because the gnome was like the size of the horse's head. You know, it was really
But, you know, they do kick butt in Battleground because you can't
see
target them.
Yeah, they're awesome rogues, I think.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, they're really good rogues.
So, what else?
And on the Alliance side, I've just been kind of... Oh, well, that's actually about it.
Yeah.
That's about it. Again, I didn't have a lot of time to play, so I've been a bad Azeroth player recently. I'm looking forward very much to 2.3. Because I do a lot of solo play, and there's going to be a lot of really great solo options in the new patch coming up.
So I've been, gosh, what haven't I done? I did some triple boxing right after our last podcast. I've been doing dual boxing here and there, and I did some dual boxing with Asheo in the Hinterlands, which is great. But I missed kind of doing my triple boxing, so I took Aprillian, my level 33 Blood Elf Warlock, Real Fire, my level 51 Orc Hunter, and Aurelia, my level 60 Troll Hunter to Fellwood. And I think I talked about this before. I don't know if this is a cheat or an exploit or whatever, but Aprillian is obviously too low to be in Fellwood. But mm-hmm. what she does is she sits back. And one of the things, when you go to Fellwood, if you want to get to Winterspring...
Winterspring, you have to go through Moonglade.
No, really? You have to go through Timbermoor.
Oh, that's
right,
you have to go
through that tunnel. And I remember my first time seeing that tunnel was during the Lunar Festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, exploring Moonglade and saying, oh, what's over there? Oh, let me go into that tunnel over there. Oops, I'm running back to my corpse.
Yeah, those guys are mean.
Yeah, and then I thought, oh, well, let me try it with a couple of characters. I'll dual box through it. Oops, two characters running back to their corpse. So you have to grind rep with Timbermoor in order to get through there. So instead of, I've done it both with Aunt Milia and with Railfire, and I thought, well, I'm going to be out here. I want to grind some more because there's some really nice benefits to being honored or friendly and honored and revered with the Timbermoor, because there's a vendor for crafting. I think it's mostly leatherworking and...
tribal leatherworking. I think it's all tribal.
Right. And no, there's some cloth. I mean, tailoring.
Before, tribal leatherworking is one of the three branches.
Right, but there's all... Yeah. And there's also tailoring and some other stuff that you can get. But you have to be, revered and are honored. And Aprillian is a tailor. So what I do is kind of put her off to the side and let the other two hunt these furblogs now. Mm-hmm. And then they're in group together, so she gets the rep points. So she can't do any of the quests, like the turning in of the feather or whatever. But she can, a headdress feather, but she can get 10 reps for every time that they kill one of the fur blogs. And so now she's friendly.
Oh, that's right.
So she's not even 30, she just turned 34. And now she can run through the tunnel. So that's kind of cool. And she also leveled up while she was out there. Yeah, by the end of the week, she was neutral with Timbermoor, and she had dinged a level. And then I ended up taking her and Ardrian into Shimmering Flats. And for me, there are some... I know people hate doing the same thing over and over again. But for me, it's like... Well, I did Quake 2 several times. And the second or third time I went through it, it's like, okay, great. I know I need to go over there. That guy's going to come from over there. Let me make my timing. And it was neat. I think the first time I level somebody up, it's almost like becoming familiar with the quests and stuff. And then the second and third time, you're actually like making plans on how to, to do the things the best way. So I had a ball in Shimmering Flats. I have a ball in Stranglethorn. I'm looking forward to Stranglethorn Vale. I know people hate it, but to me, Stranglethorn Vale is like a jewel, because there's so many mobs.
Yeah, I like Stranglethorn Vale as well.
It's grind fest city, people.
I just can't wait for 2.3, because that way the grinding will actually be even more beneficial.
Yeah, maybe so, but then I always worry that it'll make people level up characters and then abandon them. Each of my characters, and I have a lot of characters that I regularly use, are very special to me because of all the blood, sweat, and tears. And it's funny because I was doing this, I looked at the play thing, when you first log on, it tells you how many days you've played and how many times.
Yep.
And there's supposedly some kind of an add-on you can get that will keep track of not only how many played for that character, but but it will combine all the ones on your account
mm-hmm.
and tell you how many times you've played. Well, that would be interesting for me because I triple box.
Oh.
So it's going to look like I never eat, sleep.
You have played 5,000 days.
In the last year. How is that possible? But so we went to Shimmering Flats and that was fun. Audrian dinged a level. And he's got a Ravager that he got from Azure Mist. And it was at 16 when he got it. Now it's up to level 24. And mm-hmm. he's up to level 30. So that was cool. So that meant that Adrian was level 27 when we went into Wailing Cavern. It was really nice to show you Wailing Cavern, but we didn't even... That was even...
Close, yeah.
A quarter of it. We got to Lord Python, which is the easiest one to do when you... You know, once you get into it. There's still mm-hmm. a whole bunch more, and I'm looking forward to going back and doing that. Although, if I'm the tank, you have to stay behind me.
I know. I
runs ahead and... Clothy, clap. Yeah, because he's a warlock. No,
he's a mage. He's extra squishy.
Yeah.
I find that warlocks are much more resistant.
Yeah, they have the demon skin.
Yeah.
And then they also have their pet. Oh, you know what I was thinking? Just to go off topic for 1 second. Wouldn't it be neat if in the Wrath of the Lynchkin King... Oh, I have such a hard time with that. Or one of the other expansions, they came out with a pet trainer. It would be really cool if you could train pets and then trade them or sell them.
Oh. So, like, as a profession?
Right. Or it could either be a combat pet, or you could just have a specific person that goes out and hunts down certain creatures,
mm-hmm.
traps them, you know, and
cool idea. You know how there's an aquatic form for druids?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think it'd be kind of neat if the aquatic form had a little bit more, like, muscle to it, and you could actually fight? And then you could, like, as a druid, if you could also train pets, you could, like, train sharks and dolphins to, like, fight with you.
Yeah.
You're kind of like Aquaman, right?
Well, that didn't do too good, so that's not a good example.
No, but...
Did you know that when a druid is in animal form, you can do scare beast on it? That's kind of cool.
Really? I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
If I was a druid, and I was like, what? What?
Yeah. What else have I... Oh, and the other thing I was doing was Veil. All of a sudden, and this is the neat thing about World of Warcraft, is you can get obsessed about something.
Mm-hmm.
And then focus in on that, and then work on that for a while, to the exclusion of everything else. I have some Mithril lockboxes. And, of course, I'm a bad rogue, which is why my rogue twink sucks in BG. But I wanted to Veil... has gotten up to, I think she's 38 now, but she was 37 when I started to focus on her. And I really don't understand how she got up so high. I think it's been mainly because I've been triple boxing, mm-hmm. she's been running behind people. She's my blacksmith and my enchanter. And as a rogue, I need her to open up boxes. So
yeah.
I've got like 3 mithril boxes, 2 are mine and 1 somebody sent me. And I'm all gung-ho to try to learn how to get her up. I found out that the tower and the Poison Crest and the Barrens over by Sludge Farm has a box that's protected by this elite guy. But, you know, he's like a level 14 or something. And she was like 37. So she took him out pretty quickly. But the box you can unlock and get up to 170.
So you can lock it and relock it?
No, you just unlock it. And then it fades away. It's kind of just like the boxes on that boat and Ratchet. But it's just one, so you have to keep waiting for it to respawn. And it took me like 2 or 3 hours just sitting there to get up to 170. And then, but I looked online and I found out that Mithril boxes were 225. And then it didn't dawn on me. Do you know how... rogues get the next level.
They pickpocket, right?
Right, but you know how they get the maximum. They have a maximum.
Of 300, right?
No. Yeah, eventually 300, I guess. Probably 375. They get 5 points per level.
Oh.
So it's tied into their level. It's just like your weapons.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Which didn't dawn on me. So here I am, gung-ho, because I'm going to get this rogue to 225 so that she can open this mithril lockbox. So we get up to 170 doing that, and then she was up to 185. So now I'm looking for lockpick trainers. I found out that there's some boxes in Angora. Angora. No, not Angora. Angora. Gosh, what's it called? Fortress. In the Badlands.
Okay.
It's that thing that's off to the left when you go to Alderman that you just run by and you never even pay any attention to. And there's all these dwarves running around. Mm-hmm. And it looks, when you go inside, it looks like that place in the Barrens where you have to get the ingredients to blow up some. Oh, you probably don't know about this one.
Is this a Horde quest?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so it also looks like the place over by South Shore where there's some dwarves in, like, a hideout.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, and you go in
like
and
Grim Batal kind of thing.
Yeah, and you go in and they play that music, ding, 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 you know, that dwarf party music.
The dwarf party music. Bum,
bum, ba-da-da. Yeah. Ba-da-da-da. Yeah, that kind of thing. Anyway.
The dwarf party music.
She gets in there. She's in there with, I think I took Trishel, the level 50 hunter, and Trishel was, like, you know, clearing for her, and she gets up to 185, and I'm like, great. So now I'm trying to figure out how can she get past 185, which is her maximum, and I realize she dings, and she gets 190 as her maximum. So now we're looking at 35 more levels at 7 levels, I mean 5 mm-hmm. things a level, so now she's looking at, she's 38, she's not going to be able to open a mithril box until she's 45.
Oh, that's no good.
No, it's no good at all. I mean, at least, you know, she'll be able to ride, but, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I kind of let that go. I'm just going to have to put that on the back burner. I'll get her up later, but then I decided I want a chicken.
You want a chicken?
I
want
to ride a chicken.
They have the riding chickens?
The chickabos or the whatever. What do they call the ones that the Blood Elves ride?
The Sun Striders?
Yeah. So.
Okay, I was like, the chickens. I was like, I actually thought like it, because I could imagine that Blizzard would have something like that, like a riding chicken.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you can get a chicken in Shimmering Flats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a pet.
Yeah,
but
it's a pet. Why anybody would want a pet chicken? I don't know.
You know, Alaris, he doesn't have the cat anymore. Well, he does, but it's in his bank account. But I was like this big, bulky Draenei walking around with like all my plate armor. And I had this little black cat following me. And people would actually stop and, you know, whisper. And they're like, that is the best pet, you know, for your character.
For your character, yeah.
Because, you know, it's like this big guy, like, this is my kitten. You know, like, it's stroking it very gently.
Yes.
But now he has a Whippetinger. It's like every other 11-year-old.
I still run around with, I think, Vale, the rogue, was running around with her rat. He's so cute. The rat that you get from doing the orphan quest.
Yep, and it plays dead.
Yeah, it plays dead. How cute is that? Okay, and so now I'm focusing on getting Aprilian up. She's 34, and all she needs to do is get 6 more levels, and she can ride. She's also a warlock, so she could get a Felsteed, but I think I'm going to go for the chicken.
So get the Felsteed, just so that way you can have
the riding.
You can have it, because sometimes it's cool just for bragging rights. Because it's one of the things, like, no other character class can get the Felsteed, so you want to be able to do it.
Right. Okay, so, and what else? Oh, I had fun. I got voted Guildie of the Week.
Yes, it's awesome. I'm in the presence of greatness.
It was so awesome. I love Alea Iacta Est. And I have to give props to the instance every time I mention it, because it is their guild, and I don't really, you know, want to steal their thunder, which I can't, because they're so cool. But it was nice that I was obviously nominated and I got awarded. And there was no prize or anything. It's just I can say that I've been nominated. I've been voted Guildie of the Week. And I'm very happy.
Yeah. You should be.
Okay, so, the other thing was they changed the mail rules. Have you heard about this? Or did we talk about this last week?
I don't remember.
It has to do with the auction house. When you pay for something, the auction,
it takes an hour
for the money to get there. Now, I was afraid that this was going to affect me because I do this thing with the Alliance, but I then realized that what I really needed transferred wasn't the money, it was really the goods.
The item.
Yeah.
Which is annoying.
No, then the items go instantaneously. It's just the gold that takes an hour.
Oh.
So if you buy something off the auction house, you get it right away.
Oh, that's why it's true, isn't it?
No. Yeah. You just don't get paid for it, but I don't depend on the money. I'm not trying to transfer money back and forth. So that turned out well. Oh, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the value of something.
Oh, the value of something.
Yeah.
This is one of those things in like the trade channels where you just basically have a flame wars go on.
Right.
People are like, it's not worth this, it's not worth that.
Right. And the thing is, first of all, when you price something, you're usually pricing it based on how much time you spend making it, also how much time you spend getting to that level, mm-hmm. and how much money you spent on buying the recipe or obtaining the recipe. Some things are easy. You can go to a trainer and get trained, and bam, you have it. Some things are harder, like the Robes of Arcania. You have to go, if you're Horde, you have to go into Darkshore and fight these Defiest in this tower. I remember I got the recipe on another server, and I fought for... 3 hours, you know. So to me, if I'm going to sell the robes, I want to get something that's going to make it worthy. Well, what I was selling was, somebody whispered or said in trade they needed a deadly blunderbuss. That's the gun that you have to give to the pixie at Ashenvale to get the Warsaw blades, which is part of the whole thing. I don't think I've ever completed that. What happened? I don't know what you get at the end, but
I don't think I've ever completed that one either.
Because then you have to go down to Ratchet, and you have to get the...
There are some quests, like... And I love World of Warcraft, and I'm not a complainer, but, like, at the same time, there's so many quests out there. Just, like, in real life, how there's, like, food that you just don't like doesn't mean it's bad food. Like, the quests that make you run all over the place, right. I just don't enjoy them.
Yeah. Some of them are good because you get... something really neat. Like that... you'll find
it's like out. The Amazing Race or the TV show.
Yeah. And some of them, you know, you end up carrying stuff in your inventory for, like, weeks. And then the quest gets grayed out and you're like... Like, I was carrying around that dried seeds for the oasis in the Barrens. And then I realized that I had, you know... I was way past it.
You didn't get any experience for
it. Right, so I mean, the only good thing about trying to finish a quest that you don't get experience for is that you can sometimes get good rep. Yeah.
I did that with Alaris going into the starting area for the dwarves and the gnomes. Because those starting quests, each one, like these simple little things, give you like 500 rep, 500 rep, 500 rep.
Yeah.
And I went from friendly to revered in less, like, a couple of hours. Yeah.
A ram.
Yeah. Well, exalted is everything.
It's everything. Okay.
I'll wait for the next
one. That's another thing they're
going to
be bringing out in the PTR is that the discount is going to vary more. You know how you get a 10%?
It's going to be 10, 15, 20.
Right.
Which is, I think that's really good.
Right, so you get another benefit for getting your reputation up. Something else I found out, that you can open up your reputation, and you can click on, say when I was doing the Timbermaw things, and I wanted to get, clearing the fur blogs, and I wanted to see how I was doing with the Timbermaw. Well, I kept having to open the box and check how far along I was. You can actually click on... one of the factions in
your
box.
Oh, yeah, and it shows you, like, an experience bar.
Right, you can add a bar. Right, you can only have one bar at a time, but it's kind of neat if you're out there grinding rep and you want to know. So, anyways, somebody asked me for this deadly blunderbuss, and I whispered back that I have one for 2 gold. They whispered back, there's one on AH for one gold. Well, if there's one on AH for one gold, why don't you buy it? why clog up trade? I thought they couldn't find one at all. I actually had a bunch, and I was giving them away to guild members. And he said something about, I said, go ahead and buy the one gold. And he said something about not being born yesterday. Well, to me, two gold for an item I trained to craft and gathered the materials and stored it in my inventory is not a lot. And I think that that should be, you know, understood. Sometimes some of the value of what you do gets taken away by people who either craft stuff for free or, enchants, you know.
You know, I'm at the point now where, like, with my enchanter, because Palinor is an enchanter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about going and just running up onto, you know, Ogrimmar's auction house and just say, look, I have all of these, glimmering shards and soul dusts. I'll enchant stuff low level for free.
Yeah.
Tips appreciated. Because I want to empty it and I want to get my skill up.
Right.
Doing it on yourself.
Right. Just seems.
It's not good because you can help other people in the game and help yourself at the same time and maybe make a gold out of it.
Right. And what else? Excuse me. I think that's about it for what I've been doing.
You always do so much more than me.
Well, I have, I'm spoiled. I have a lot of free time to do it, you know. I can't do it at work anymore, though, just during my lunch hour. But you can still get a lot done. Oh, Aunt Rilia dinged 61 today. Woo! Which is a lot for me. I never had a character over 61.
Yeah, Glantha, my dwarf, is 62.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Thinking about this, like the you said earlier that you're afraid that with the new leveling that characters are going to be abandoned. Right. It's going to be easier to get them up. I can say that going from 60 to 70, mm-hmm. there's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in that.
Yeah.
So if you get to level 70, you're going to be keeping that character.
Yeah, yeah. So I think I'm going to focus on getting Aurelia up, you know.
Because it takes hours. It would take me 8 hours of grinding to go from half of 62 to 63.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Another thing I got to do is get out and train. I haven't been training as much as I should have. But, I got a whole week. A lot of things can happen in a week. So, I guess that brings us to the end of what we've been doing. And we'd love to hear from you. We'll have our email in the show notes, and it's controlaltwow@gmail.com. And we're going to pause for a second. Okay, now for those of you who do know or don't know, there are different types of servers in World of Warcraft. Just to basically start at the beginning, a server is like a separate world where you log on from you pick it from the login screen, and it's actually a self-contained running version of World of Warcraft. Kind of like when you're in Quake 2 or whatever, you're playing with whomever is on your server, and that's all you'll see on that server. If somebody else is on a different server, you won't see them. You can't interact with them.
Kind of like multiple universes.
Right, exactly. Parallel universes. But there are different versions of the World of Warcraft universe. Ooh, is that an oxymoron? World of Warcraft universe?
World universe? No.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
There's PvE, which is basically
player versus environment.
Environment, right. So you're just going to be fighting your NPCs for the most part. There are places where there's nothing that's truly non-PvP. You can find PvP somewhere, but
and
you have
always
to
flag
be,
yourself.
You can
PvP
flag
too.
Yourself, right? It's kind of like voluntary PvP. Then there's PvP server, which is chaos.
I've tried rolling on a PvP server and I didn't like it.
I think I'm gonna try it one of these days because I think I'm ready for it. I don't think it's a good place to start off, but it's very interesting because if you do encounter a horde player in your alliance, you know, you can be fought. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole lot of ganking going on that. And then there's role-playing. There's role-playing by itself. I think there's two versions of role-playing.
There's RP PvE and right. RP PvP.
Right. So, Earthen Ring is RP PvE. And we're going to address some issues about...
Well, it's not just... I wouldn't say issues is the right word, but... Mm. I used to be on a PvE server, and I always had, you know, the characters' names, and I would go through, and I would probably take more of an RP stance on them. I would actually try to think of, like, who would I want to be if I was in this world, you know, kind of, it's an escape, you know, for many people, an escape for me to kind of go to this other place for a little while, or a long time, some days. I just kind of play around in there, and I liked creating characters that were part of myself in there. Like, Alaris has a lot of me in it, and Galantha has a lot of me in it, and some of the Horde characters are, like, the either parts of me that I work really hard to suppress, or parts of me that, like, I would...
Evil Galantha.
Evil Galantha. And parts of me that I kind of wish I was, like, more of. You know, everyone wants to be kind of a... tough guy sometimes. So when you roll an undead warlock, I mean, I wouldn't be an undead warlock in real life, but it's sometimes it's fun to kind of pretend like, what would I do, you know, if I was, you know, evil. And that's with the little pinky up to the mouth, like Dr. Evil there.
Yeah. Well, there's several ways to role play, and I could tell you that the guild we're in, AIE, when it first started off, there was a little bit more role playing. There was still a lot going on. We had a guy named Witch Doctor who was a troll, and he was very much
he types in the accent, and it's very, very convincing. Yeah, it's very cool.
You know, all trolls are Jamaican
for yeah some reason.
I don't know why. But and it's fun, but there's not a whole lot going on in Earthen Ring. You the log on in the trade channel is full of you know, what's going on in the world,
in the real world, and it's not even intelligent discussion. You know, it's there was one the other day talking about Britney Spears and you know, her kids, and I was a little disappointed by that, because I didn't want to have to go around and listen to Britney Spears. I want to try to get away from all that, you know, gossip rag talk every once in a while.
I've started using /ignore on the trade channel.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
but sometimes maybe you would need the trade channel, you know?
No, but you can ignore a specific person if they're going to.
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah. But there's definitely an element of policing of those RP servers. Because I was on Blizzard's site, and I was looking up about, you know, RP servers. And Blizzard's official policy is really strange on this one. It says that RP servers actually have a naming convention, like you.
Yeah, supposedly there's been a few people in our guild who had to rename themselves because they were reported.
Yeah, because you like the. I remember when you had the running of the bulls, people were like teriyaki steak and things like that. I wonder if any one of those people got reported, because you have to create a name as it would be in Azeroth,
right?
And you have to stay like within character to like satisfactorily. Like, you can't talk about like real life events. And Blizzard has this policy, but then they have a little asterisk saying that they're not going to do anything about it.
They're not going to actively seek out, but yeah, if you do complain, they will act on your complaint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which seems like a lot of work for them after the fact, and it kind of makes it an environment of snitches in a way. Right, yeah. Like, no one wants to like look at somebody's like level 60 character whose name is I Heart Brangelina. And then report them, and then have their character be deleted.
No, their characters aren't deleted.
They just get renamed?
Yeah, you get forced into renaming. I actually reported myself because Ardrion, when I first logged on to the server, was Control-Alt-WoW, which I thought would be cool. I know on another server I had another character named Control-Alt-WoW. But then I realized that this was a role-playing server, and I wanted to conform, so I actually reported myself. And they gave me the option to, when I logged back in after I reported myself, I said, you know, I made a mistake. I really don't think this is a sufficiently proper name for a role-playing server. When I logged back in, I was told that my name did not fit the standard, and I had the option of renaming, which is great instead of just deleting somebody. But I think that what happens is, I think that everybody has it to take it upon themselves to create the proper role-playing atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can do it yourself. Just create a character, get into your character. When I first started on, I actually created a blog. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, where a Prillian was role-playing a person who just left her family with her brother, Audrion, mm-hmm. and they were going out into the world to follow in their parents' footsteps. And Aurelia was an aunt
yep.
that had hung out with, well, actually wasn't a real aunt, but someone that Aprilia knew as Aunt Aurelia, who had fought alongside their parents before they decided to settle down and have children. And the blog that I made for them was them sending letters back and forth between their families, telling them what was going on, and the, you know, mighty feats they had done, and the quest they had completed, and the people they had made. So, you know, if you wanted to, you could do that too.
No, that'd be a good. That's
yeah.
But like things that get into character, like I have, like when I was playing Alaris, like I have him be like this ultimate Boy Scout, and I remember that there's a quest in what's the zone that Moradon is in? And, you know, it's the one with the centaurs. What's the name of that zone again?
Oh, 10K? I mean, 1,000 Needles?
No. The centaurs that
Desolus?
Desolus, thank you. There's a quest in Desolus when you're in Alliance. You have to kind of choose one side of a war and start a war.
Right.
And he actually did that quest because I was not thinking. But then afterwards, I actually felt really guilty about it because that's so against his character. So now I've actually incorporated that when I'm playing him, that he's trying to be extra good because he's made this mistake in his life.
He started a war.
But it adds a cool like flavor, I think, to these characters, because it brings it into like a game that has sustainability as opposed to just getting to 70 and then making a new one.
Right.
Makes it so that way, even though Galanther has been at level 62 now for months, I can still open it up and play him and enjoy it. So I think it would be great if anyone out there who also takes a more role-playing approach, if you wanted to email us and let us know like how you role-play, how you incorporate, you know, yourself into your characters. I'd be really interested to see what's out there.
You can email us. You can send us MP3 audio. You can send us screenshots. Anything that we could add to either the podcast or post on the website. And we're also using our website now as our forum.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to our website at controlaltwild.com and use the comment field on any episode to make a comment, we'll reply to it right away. And also, we would like to invite you to go to iTunes and make a review.
We've been doing pretty good on there. I think we're at 4 stars.
Yes.
It's pretty good.
So,
but that was, I just want to talk about role playing a little bit today. And
yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts on role playing or how you role play, and what do you think of a role playing server? Okay.
So that's it for me today.
Yeah, and I think that's it for me. So we are going to try to do another episode next week.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be gone this long, and this is Aprilian signing out for the Horde.
And this is Galanther for the Alliance.
It's been real. May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al'dir Shala.
Go in peace.